Next up, this will be an interesting talk. This is called When Fear Meets Frustration, How to Discuss Sensitive Subjects and Bridge the Gap of Knowledge. And I think this will be a little bit of an education for us as farmers. And we're going to have Janice Persons come up, and she is a member of Monsanto's consumer engagement team working with the food and agricultural tribes. Janice has a real passion for agriculture and in total, and social media provides a great way to both learn and share experiences in ways that can help people better understand agriculture broadly. She is one of the founders of a farmer-led Ag Chat Foundation, which seeks to empower farmers to tell their stories online. So, Janice?
Thank you, guys. I'm glad some of you actually showed up. After I talked at lunch, I never know, would somebody show up at day two? So what I want to start talking about, some of you guys were able to attend the lunch I was at yesterday and talking a little bit. I want to start in a little different spot today. You guys heard me talk about some of the stories that people have come to me with at different times. But I'd like to ask you, do you remember a time when you were really afraid of something? You know, it may be that you had a family member that was at the hospital. You didn't know what was going to happen next. It may be that your child had an accident, called and said that they crashed the car, but didn't give you very many details. I want you to think about how that fear impacted you at that moment. And for a few of us, I know some of you guys would like to pretend you've never been afraid in your life. You can think about a family member who was really afraid, and you had to try and help them get through that, right? So when you think about what that does to your body, for me, my pulse changes, my voice changes, I'm shaky. At a certain point when I'm really afraid of something, I want to back away from it. I want to get out of it. Now, on the other hand, what does frustration do to us? And I know some of you guys have been really ticked off at some point, whether it's over a tractor breakdown on the day you're trying to plant or something, or just somebody doing something really stupid on the highway around you or something. So we can all feel frustration, right? Like, that one's probably easier for a lot of us to tap into. And when you hit that moment of frustration, it's the opposite of being quieted. Your pulse still goes up like crazy, right? We all feel like that rush. But you suddenly get louder. At least if you're in my family, you do. We're not quiet when we're angry very often. And what happens is you sort of start feeling larger than life. So whereas somebody who's afraid starts shrinking, when you're really frustrated, you grow 10 sizes that day, according to the Grinch, right? So thinking about that, I want to ask you how much that impacts the way your mind works. Do you really want to make big decisions when you're really afraid of something? Is that when you want to have to make a choice about your health care, when you're really afraid? Or when you're really ticked off, do you make your best decisions then? I don't. The redheaded temper gets to me, and I probably am going to say stuff I shouldn't say. And I try and use the rule of, if my mom or my grandma had seen it, would they be okay with me? Would they still be proud of me? Not if I start talking too much when I'm really frustrated. That's not the time they're afraid of me. So I want to tell you about, this isn't me and my dad. Marie's going to giggle. But this is my dad. And I was not lucky enough to win his skin, his complexion. My father had a really dark complexion. And I am uber white. We call it ultra white in my family. You can tell the red hair. I'm sure that was a cute little dinosaur I was playing with. I was probably tickling my dad. My dad also had then hips. I didn't win that either. But my genetic lottery, I got, my father was allergic to stings. So think about what that does to you growing up. Couldn't have gotten the good stuff. I got being allergic to stings. I was the only one of four kids that got that. And I don't remember when it was that I got afraid of bees. Because I can't remember a world where I wasn't afraid of bees. As a child, it changed the way I behaved at the park, at the playground. I would find myself going to the playground equipment that was further away from the trash cans, because the trash cans would attract bees. When my siblings and I were at the pool, and a bee would be seen hovering near the pool, near the food or something, I would dive under and stay until I could not hold my breath. By the time I was in junior high and high school, I was using hairspray, God help me. I had the big hair. And I can remember sitting in my ninth grade English class, and even thinking about it now, my voice kind of changes. Somebody said, "Janice, there's a wasp in your hair." And can you imagine how paralyzing that is? You know, I was growing up in a time where we didn't have EpiPens. So I knew that when my father got stung, the one time he did, he got rushed to the hospital, and we were lucky he made it. The only time I had been stung was by a honeybee, and I remember my hand swelling up to the size of the Michelin Man, and my mom wondering whether it would ever go down, and all of us wondering what would happen if I got stung someplace else on my body. So to have a wasp in my hair, I couldn't reply to the student that was talking to me. The teacher started noticing I was shaking. That is fear, right? Like, we can all understand why I had that fear. It's an allergy. It's something that's very real for me. So what would make me do something like this? Would you mind, Jeff, hitting the video?
Well, we're not quite out there yet, but hey, I got it started, and it looks like it's live. So, everybody, it's facing me. Look at this. For those of you who don't know, I grew up as a kid who was really scared of bees.
I'll tell you, I started the video just so I couldn't stop doing it.
So am I scared of
bees?
It
was live on Facebook.
Because when I would get stuck, I'd swell up like a, I don't know, the Michelin Man, which I could probably be in this outfit right now. If somebody put like an air hose to me, it would be crazy how fast I would blow up. So anyway, I'm out here, and now I'm gonna hit the return. Don't see me anymore, but look, there's my friend Jerry. Yeah? Jerry. Jeez. Jerry. Oh my God, they're like right in the top.
Yeah, and so this is called an inner cover. We're going to take this off, and we're going to look in because these first boxes
He keeps
are
talking to me no matter what I'm doing.
Yes, yeah. Is where the bees are storing their honey that they will use for winter food. And I think I'll take one of these combs out, and we'll see, because the bees are foraging. They're looking for flowers in about a 2.5 mile radius of their home right here. So they're going into everybody's yard and looking for.
Oh, dude, they like keep hitting this mask I'm wearing.
Yeah.
It's great they're hitting the mask. Uh-huh. Good thing they're hitting the mask.
All right, you can turn it off, Jeff. Thanks.
These open cells here.
So you can hear my voice. Right? Like, I'm trying to be cool because I had started this video and I convinced myself I could do this. Jerry had convinced me I could do it. And I knew I'd back out if I got out there and I didn't start the video. So, like, once it was live on Facebook, I, like, had to follow through. And so what takes somebody from that paralyzing fear, the inability to talk to somebody about there's a wasp in my hair, I'm allergic, and I need somebody to, like, do something. I couldn't say it. It's all I could think in my hair is, surely somebody's going to do something in my head. I just, like, somebody's going to do something. But but I couldn't get the words out. Only reason I could do it was Jerry, right? I had never thought about what kind of testing for stings we had available today. You know, my parents didn't have the ability to have us tested for absolutely everything when I was a kid. And so I just always knew I had to be safe rather than sorry. I had to play it safe. Even when I have an EpiPen nearby, who wants to use an EpiPen? It's not what you're going to choose. And so when Jerry started working in our office, he's one of the foremost experts in bees in the country. And he asked me one day if I wanted to go to the beehives, and I went, oh, no, I'm allergic. I can't go to the beehives. And he didn't go, really? Tell me about that allergy. How allergic are you? He didn't roll his eyes. He just, over time, asked me some questions. And that's, folks, that's kind of the way most people learn agriculture today. People in this room are really lucky we learned it from our families. We learned it from people who really knew agriculture. My family at home learns as much about agriculture from the labels on food as they do from anybody else. I'm lucky. I get to take them out of the city and make them all ride in combines and make them all visit farms. But there's only two people from my high school that have in any way entered agriculture. And we graduate at least 500 students every year. And that guy's 20 years older than me. I've found nobody else connected to farming in my community. So if people are learning about food from this place where fear is inspired, they're looking at the same thing with gluten, right? It's not just GMOs. I mean, GMOs are a big fear factor for a lot of people right now, but gluten can scare them to death. And they've been given an alternative that they can play it cautious. And they have the money, so why not play it cautious, right? This is kind of what happens in their mind. They see the labels in the grocery store. They see what's on the menus when they go to their restaurants. They watch the news. And they're inundated on social media. And they don't know the people in this room. Like, you know, I'm lucky. I've been able to take all of my family out to farms. My mom went to a Farm Bureau meeting with me again this summer. God love her. You know, they all get to meet farmers, whether they want to or not. They're going to have that opportunity. But for most people in my neighborhood, how do they learn about it? What we're suggesting is we have to get in these same venues. We have to get where they're learning about it, and we're going to have to remember most of them have already learned this fear that's pretty bad. They didn't have Mr. Ray Young to show them agriculture. I mentioned him yesterday in the lunch, and this is him just a couple of years ago. They didn't have him taking them by the hand and say, let me show you what I do to my soil. What they have right now is this nameless, faceless labels, and they have fear mongers online, and they are craving something different. When you're afraid like that, you don't like being afraid. It's paralyzing. It's horrible. But right now, they don't know there's other options. So what I'd like to suggest is if you see fear, you need to figure out how to deal with it and be patient. And if you can't do that day, and I've had those days, you need to choose the door and keep going. So if you can't have a nice, calm conversation, and we've all been in those days where our frustration level gets too high, I mean, the redhead in me really does come out a lot. You need to walk away. If you think you can, like, try and figure this one out, if this person is important enough to you, you shouldn't want them to be afraid. You should want to empower them to make better decisions for themselves. Think about asking them just three questions to try and understand why they're afraid. Don't say three statements about why they shouldn't be afraid. Seek first to understand. So for me, when I have somebody come up to me and they're shaking about gluten, can you tell me? does somebody in your family have a problem with gluten? Because if you're a mom and you have a child with a food allergy, yeah, there's some reason to be afraid. You can eventually get to the fact that, well, oatmeal generally shouldn't have any gluten in it. So you don't need to buy the gluten-free logo if you don't want. It's gluten-free naturally, you know? But if you can ask three questions. So the kinds of things, does somebody have a topic that they've had somebody that's just crazy worried about that you want me to do your three questions on? All right, I'll do GMOs. Just, I know GMOs well. So when somebody's really afraid about GMOs, the first thing I usually say is, can you tell me what you've read or what you've seen that made you afraid? Can you tell me how you do your grocery shopping? What do you look for in the grocery store? What's your grocery budget? What do you really want to prioritize when it comes to food? You know, all those things kind of get them to stop thinking about the fear and start thinking about other pieces, right? And at a certain point, when you can start seeing their voice becomes stronger and more normal and they're no longer afraid, at a certain point you can say, do you mind if I tell you my experience? Because I think my experience seems to be pretty different than yours. And at that point, you may be able to get them to listen to you. One of the things I love to do is ask them, can I tell you about my favorite GMO? And I hear you giggle because most people have never heard anybody would have a favorite GMO. For people in Nebraska, it may be drought tolerance. For me, it's the American chestnut tree. I love that we're going to reforest the eastern U.S. with these gorgeous American chestnut trees thanks to a GMO that protects it from a blight. They got that gene, that protein, from wheat. And it's going to be able to reforest the eastern U.S. with hardwoods. And as somebody who grew up in that part of the country, hardwood trees, I'm so tired of seeing all the pine trees. We should have our hardwood trees back that my grandparents had. So do you see how it kind of starts working? So their fear starts coming down, and as I listen to their answers, my frustration also comes down. Because I start thinking, they're not just some lunatic who's afraid of this stuff. They've got a real reason to be afraid, or they've been misled. And even if they've been misled, I can be compassionate about that. When you're doing this, you always have to be yourself. Like, me having the conversation is very different than anybody else here having the conversation. I'm going to use different stories. I'm going to use laughter sometimes. Some of us are going to be snarky. It's fine. Be yourself. Have the conversation the way you work. Don't try and do it Janice's way, because that's not going to work for you, and you'll probably get frustrated over trying to do it my way. It'll probably make it worse. For some of us, it's on social media. For some of us, it's live in person. For some of us, it's at a distance. For some of us, it's private messages. For some of us, it's phone calls. Figure out what works for you. For me, if somebody in my family is really afraid of something, I probably shouldn't have that conversation in text message unless they're my 13-year-old niece or nephew. And then maybe I do have at least part of the conversation in text message. And you always need to connect authentically. Like, tell your story, be who you are, be honest. Don't try and hide everything, because maybe that's not the best story you could come up with. Really be who you are. And then I think you start turning in a different way. What's the greatest thing, though, is to not let that fear and frustration build up. And I don't know how many of you guys know, today is World Soil Day. It is pretty awesome to be in a crowd of hundreds of farmers on World Soil Day. You guys are the ones caring for our soils. You're the ones that are making them productive. On a day like today, when nobody's come at you with a lot of fear and frustration, can you find a way to talk about World Soil Day with somebody? Maybe it's a Facebook post about something. Maybe it's when you go to lunch today and you happen to have a conversation with the waitress at the luncheon. Maybe it's, you know, this evening you talk to somebody from your family you haven't talked to in a while and you mention how important the soils are for you. All of those things help us get where we want to be if you can get ahead of the fear and frustration. Part of it is also deciding who to connect to. I don't expect farmers, the two less than, you're really less than 1% probably farmers, but agriculture is less than 2% of America. We cannot, as a people, connect to every consumer in America. And we are gonna just have to deal with that. So if we can look for people that can lead a group of others, Carl the other day went with me and we had a meeting with a group of skeptics here in Salem. And God knows how many people will end up telling the stories that they heard that day. You know, who can they talk to about it? You don't have to get to everybody in Salem, but can you find some people who will like have conversations with lots of other people in Salem or in your town or in the state of Oregon? Find a few people who maybe aren't already all wrapped up in the fear and frustration yet and reach out to them. Find people that can cover our stories. Then as we finish up, because I know we were running a little bit behind, I just wanted to go ahead and open it up if there were things that were specific. I know yesterday we had a couple of questions, and this is kind of like my Q&A section. Are there some specific fear moments that you've had with family that you couldn't figure out how to get away, how to have the conversation, how to be productive? I'd be glad to take those questions and talk for a few minutes if we still have time. All right? You guys know I'll wait you out. Somebody here has a question. All right. You guys must be ready for lunch today. Well, with that, I want to thank you again for having me. Thank you for all the support that you guys have done for Monsanto and modern agriculture as a whole. I know you guys, you're on the front line. I hope this was helpful, and look forward to talking to some of you guys out in the hall. Thank you.